Turn with us in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 2. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 2. As our custom is, we stand to honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 2. Start reading in verse number 1 through verses number 7 today. John is writing. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh." Boy, I'm glad it don't say walked. Means he's a stirring in our midst. He walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Jesus said, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. This thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Thank you for standing this morning. You may be seated. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we come to you today, realizing, oh Lord, we can do nothing within ourselves. Lord, I realize we have the precious, inspired Word of God today. Lord, the devil's tried to hinder me in the service for you here this morning. God, trying to take my mind in places, Lord, that it has no business in going. Trying to dampen and discourage my spirit, and I pray and I ask for your help from another world today. Would you let preaching be easy? Let us be a blessing to your people. Give us that we need today. Stir our hearts, O Holy One, as only you can do. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you. Amen and amen. Not had any problem with voice all week until I opened my Bible. I'm glad the devil knows where I go to church. I'm glad he knows what I drive. I'm glad he knows where I live. More than that, I'm glad there's a sovereign God in heaven that is over the devil this morning. You listen to me as a child of God. There's nothing will never happen to me and you unless there's a sovereign God on his throne. Allows it to happen in our life. Because Romans 8:28 is still in our Bible, for we know that all things, that's from the east to the west, the north to the south, for all things work together. You couldn't understand it when he was working things, but boy, when he puts it together, I'm glad it's all to his honor and his glory. Now pray for me this morning. I feel in my heart what I've needed to preach since yesterday. And I want to say, and I'd like to look in this text of Revelation 2, there were seven church letters that the Lord inspired John to write. He started here in the first church letter to Ephesus. Now, they were the only church that ever had two letters written unto them. Paul was the first writer in the book of Ephesians. He had written that great and glorious epistle that none really even can compare to the writings of the book of Ephesians. But we know who gave him that, and that was the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul, no doubt, is left off of the scene, and John is on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day. And there the Holy Ghost begins to inspire his pen as he writes, and he says, I want you to write unto the church of Ephesus, that great and mighty church that Paul spent some 3 years of his life at, the epistle that he penned down that goes way out beyond our thinking and imagination. But he said, I want you to remind the people in the church assembly of one thing. I want you to remind them that I know where they are, and I know what they're doing, and their works look good, and they look real good in the community that they're ministering in. But he said, I got an issue with everything that they're doing. And the first and foremost thing that he addressed in this first church of Ephesus was that they had left their first love. Now, it does my heart good this morning to realize Christmas morning will start here 20 years by the grace of God. God has done great and mighty things at Liberty Baptist Church. I find myself pastoring in one of the greatest days of opportunities to ever pastor a New Testament church. That is in the last days, but there are some hindrances and complications to pastoring in the last day. Number one, it is the Laodicean church age, an age of great complacency and compromise. But I find something this morning that I can relate into my life that he said, I want you to remember that you have left your first love. I'm glad that I can relate to where you live today. I'm glad you can relate to where I live, because we are susceptible to leaving our first love. Aren't you glad he didn't say that we had lost it? Because if you lost it, you not know where you could find it. But I'm going to tell you something. In my life, when I've left something, I always know where I can find it. And so Jesus gives us this great passage to the first early church on, I want you to return unto your first love and remember from whence thou art fallen. I begin to think about in the days of courting. You know, I've been saved since 1981. I've been saved over 30 years by the grace of God. Brother Kurt, Jesus gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. But I've noticed something. The older that I get walking with the Lord, and I'm embarrassed to say it, it's a lot like being married to my wife for 33 years. I take a lot for granted. I remember, Brother Marlin, when I first met my wife in Panama City Beach, Florida, I was 17 years old. Brother Lee, I can remember as I seen her, she swept me off my feet. Somebody said, you ought to stay away from the beach. It's ungodly. Well, Bowden's ungodly. But I'm glad there was one good thing happened to me at the beach. I met the love of my physical life. I met Renee Ayers, a little girl that had been going to high school in Bowden, Georgia. Brother Adam, you talk about that. You went through Bowden to the golf store, friend. I didn't even know Bowden existed. Matter of fact, about all Bowden's doing is holding Alabama and Georgia together. Somebody say amen. I mean, they roll the sidewalks up at Bowden about 6 o'clock on Friday night. Can I get a witness on Sunday morning? But I began to reflect and think in my relationship physically with my wife and in our courting days. Now, I was living in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 233 miles. I knew how many miles it was to her doorstep. I was working
third shift job. I was going to high school. I'd go into work at 11 at night. I was working in a bread bag printing factory. I'd get off at 7 and I'd go to high school and I'd get out at 12:30. Go home and lay down, and I'd go back to work at 11 that night and get off at 7 and go to school. Get out at 12:30 and go home and lay down and do it again. That ought to help some of you lazy hides thinking, well, you know, I'm just going to freeload on mom and dad. You need to get out and get you a job this summer. There's plenty of jobs if you'll get up and go at it. So, I was minding my own business. All of a sudden, mom and daddy said, now, I want you to go to Florida. Boy, I met Miss Renee and our hearts was put together and I began to put some things down that in the first year of my life and in my courting years with her, and some of you younger folks, that courting is dating. And I pinned some things down. I think we can correlate to the Lord. Here Jesus is writing and He said, I want you to realize you left where you was. You're not where you used to be with Me. I can remember when as I began to pin down, first of all, I used to love to read letters. Boy, Renee would write me a letter, you know, and I could barely wait to get it out of the mailbox. I wish some of you were still interested in an old love letter. It's a King James Bible, a 66 book. It's inerrant, it's inspired, and it is the Holy Word of God. And it's God writing to His bride that He loves. Therefore, He said, because you loved Me, it's because I first loved you. Boy, I could hardly wait to get a letter. Man, her writing, her letter was wonderful. The book of Solomon talks about the perfume of their love. And man, I love those letters. The girls got a hold of one of the letters the other day and wrote it. Said, Mom, I can't believe that you was talking like that to Daddy. Well, what was it about, honey? Well, we was in love. Thank God. I'm still in love this month. Love struck, star struck. Some of you boys sitting there looking wall-eyed at me, we may fight for this sermon's over this morning. What you need is a good Holy Ghost popping for the glory of God today. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I love them old love letters. I want to ask you, when's the last time you read this love letter? Then, I don't know, but back then we didn't have cell phones. Some of you young'uns, I don't know, it amazes to me what little Sophie, she's only, I guess, 15 months old, and she'll grab my cell phone. She's done got a little thumbs program. She starts hitting and she texts everybody that's in my phone. What are you saying? Well, we talked on the phone a lot. It was long distance from Georgia, from Tennessee. Mama'd get the phone bill. And this is what she'd say. She'd say, boy, are you just going to live on the phone? I mean, the phone bill was $80 when $80 was $80. She said, now you're going to have to sort of slow down on this long distance calling. I want to ask you, when's the last time that you've got fascinated in talking to your love? Boy, I called her every day. I made a lie out of her daddy. We got ready to leave Florida. She is in the back seat with her parents. Going down the road, Miss Renee is a little sad, you know. She's leaving her first love. Her daddy looked up in the mirror and Brother Larry, what he said? He said, ah, you forget about that boy. You'll never hear no more out of him. Made a liar out of him. He is sticking the key in 420. I hope he's listening to this. He's sticking a key in the back door, letting them in with their suitcase in the hand, and their phone ringing on the wall. And he walked in and picked up the phone, said, hello. I said, could I talk to Renee? He said, that boy from Tennessee. Well, every day of my life, I remember calling, anticipating the answer. It was nothing. I think the hardest thing, girls, I've ever done with your mama was being away with her. Being away from her. Couldn't see her. But I had to talk to her. Boy, how she kindled the fire in my heart. Anticipating. And so I want to ask you this morning, have you been reading the old love letters that the Lord's wrote to us? Have you been down on your knees talking to Him later? You know, I noticed this too. We don't think bad of me now, but we always wanted to take some private walks together. Man, you talking about had the love struck. I mean, we just walked down. We didn't have to go to the movies. We didn't have no money to do nothing, so we just enjoyed each other. Somebody say amen right there. Man, we'd just go down and sit in a swing, and we'd sit there and we'd have some private time together. I want to ask you, when's the last time just you and the Lord got together? Boy, I thought of her often. Do you think of Him often, or has this world got you caught up in such a way? Or do you think of our Heavenly Father very often? I tell you another thing about my physical love compared to my spiritual love. I told everybody I seen about her. Are you telling others about Him? Matter of fact, something so happened to me, I quit running with that crowd I was running in over there and started spending more time with my love, and I'd tell everybody about it. You won't believe this person that I've met. I remember one old jealous woman. I'm not going to go there. You can't take it. But, you know, I told everybody about it. Tell you nothing I did. I've got it put up in a box. I carried a picture of it. Man, I'd be around my buddies. I'd say, I want to show y'all my love. Show you my love. And man, they'd look at me and say, man, I ain't never seen nothing happen to nobody like you. You've lost your mind. And, you know, something that I'd do too, I'd love to just sit down and listen to her. Now, I'm going somewhere. Just hang on with me a minute. He says, do your first works that you've done. Do them over again. Matter of fact, some of this I'm reading off this morning, I pinned down. It would help you in your physical relationship with your wife, sir. She's not your doormat. Amen. She ain't your dishwasher. And she ain't your mama. Go on, say amen, ladies. He won't say amen. She ain't your mama. Say amen. Quit comparing her to what your mama used to do. Last time I did that, it took 33 years to get her to try to make biscuits again. Huh? But now them Piggly Wigglies in the bag ain't bad, neighbor. You hear me? But the other night, she struck out and made me some homemade biscuits. I'm so proud of her. The first time, Brother Larry, when I bit in her biscuits, they just crumbled, went all over me, and I laughed at her. That's the last time I laughed at her making biscuits for 33 years. I said, these ain't like my mama's. You ever stuck your foot in your mouth before you realized what you done? And then we'd go to trying to cover up, we'd just dig a hole bigger. Boy, I'd sit with her and just listen. It didn't matter what she was saying as long as she was talking. I noticed this too. I gave her a lot of sacrificial things. Why, it didn't matter to me if I had $40 or $60. I was fixing to come see her. You know, at that time, gas wasn't about 80 cents a gallon. 75.
But I tell you, I gave some sacrificial thing. When's the last time you gave some sacrificial thing? Now, a lot of you say, well, I'm not emotional. I don't know how you ever got married. And I sure don't today. If some of you'd smile, your face would break. But you know, emotionally, you long to see them. I got happy. Man, I'd get off down there about the Bremen exit, and I know coming through Bowden Junction down into Burwell, it wasn't long I got to see my love. Let me tell you, it ain't long we fixing to get to see. It ain't long. It's winding down. Closer to the house we get, the brighter we ought to be smiling. And you know something I dared not to do? I never stood her up on a set date. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Wouldn't that be something if she was anticipating me to show up waiting? And I called and I said, I went to the ball game. Y'all look like you need some preaching back here this morning. Oh, Aunt Sally come over, and so we're going to stay home with Aunt Sally. Why don't you grow up, put your big boy britches on, and bring Aunt Sally to church with you? Well, it ain't working over here. Let me see how it works on this side this morning. You know, it's no way in the world I'd stand her up on a set date. She'd get all ready for me to come. And you know, it takes women longer to get ready than us, you know. It takes a long time to fix this hairdo. But you know, I wouldn't dare stand her up on a set date. I think a lot of times, I wonder how she would have felt if she was standing there waiting for me to show up and be there. And I called her the next morning and said, well, I just didn't come because I really didn't want to be there. Had something more important. Well, who's more important than me, Ken? Who's more important than he? Well, I know some of you got to work. I'm not lambasting you. I'm just talking about just being sorry. I know you got to work and make a living. I know the mule stays in the ditch. But let me tell you, wouldn't it be a blessing if we could hunt as many excuses, as Brother Adam said, to get in here as we do to get out of here? There's people missing this morning. They just praising the Lord. It's Memorial Day and they got an excuse to get somewhere. Why has church become a burden to us? Why? I'd never stand her up on a date that was set. You know, it was a public affair. Son, I'd put that girl on my arm. Now, you talking about, this is what I love, them old boys and Bowden. I'd done come down here and stole their woman. We'd go to the ball game. I'd put her on my arm, you know. And she'd say, well, let's sit right here. I said, no, let's go sit way over yonder. And I'd walk down in front of the whole crowd and I could look at them. Pss, 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 pss. He's a smart aleck. He's a foreigner. I come to Bowden and got me a woman. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't save then. I'd fight a drop of a hat. And it's still in me. Don't push me. Don't push me. Don't push me. It ain't all out of me yet. Don't push me. I don't think you want a wimpy preacher. When's the last time you showed him off in public? Honey, you just... I'll be honest with you, I don't know why you ever give me time of day. I sure don't know why he ever give me time of day. When's the last time you showed him off down there at the restaurant, bowed your head and prayed? When's the last time down at the ball field, when that coach knows nothing about God, that you called and said, hey, would you have prayer with my boy and his little teammates? When's the last time you showed him up on Wednesday night and said, hey, we don't play ball on Wednesdays, we go to church? I'm glad I got a side door this morning. Aren't I preaching right? You know, he said, I want you to remember from whence thou art fallen. Has it dawned on you what He's done for you? I can remember some of you, you're young and sick and in dire need, and you're so sold out to God. God fixed you young'uns. And now you just can't hardly find enough time for Him to come to church, much less live for Him. Me and Brother Mike met up here yesterday and was talking about the culture. And I know the day's different. I know I'm facing things. You're facing things. I'm facing things preachers 50 years ago never even thought about facing. I know we have a new culture. I know we're in a new society. But this Bible's not changed, no. This Bible ain't changed a lick. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why some of you has got a cold heart with your wife and you're not loving her the way you used to. I can go preach a meeting, and I'm going to tell you what, I love my grandbabies. I love my two girls. And I want to say this while I got time, got the floor. One of them's not here working today, but I love my son-in-laws. They could have my grandbabies anywhere, but they've decided to have them here. And I'm thankful for that this morning. But you know, I think a lot of times, the further away I'm gone, 3 or 4 days, I can hardly wait to see my wife. I love my wife. You know what? Let me tell y'all something. You know the way we've stayed married 33 years? Because we wanted to be. Man, she's got more issues than I can fix. And you know I got more than she can shake a stick at. What has kept, preacher, what's kept you married? What's kept you true to your wife? Love. I love her. She ain't got to look and wonder what I'm doing over yonder because I love her. You know, now I make mistakes. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not condoning sin. I want to tell you this morning before I go home, I try to live what I preach. I try to. Sometimes my flesh gets the best of me. I lose my temper. We have fights. I acted ugly to my wife the other day. I went on there. I said, "Hon, I'm sorry. I love you too much to stay mad at you." I'd do something. You ought to turn around right now and look at her in your God-given eyeballs. Say, "I love you too much to stay mad at you." Turn around there and tell her this morning. Well, won't you get over what happened 20 years ago? Ma'am, won't you get over and quit being a wildcat and a Doberman pincher to come home to? Man, you need a shock collar. You got you one of them studded collars on. You sitting there growling at the front door. Who wants to come home to a Doberman pincher? I love my wife. It's kept me true. Wouldn't it be a blessing if God would put you back to where you used to be? I used to think this, Brother Mike, when I first started preaching, if I could call the thunder down, and I think I need to lead by principle and discipline. I think I need to lead by example. I understand every bit of that, and I try to do that. But I missed it in my early years of preaching, Brother Mike. If we could just get our people... Listen now. I'm fixing to finish this sermon. If we could just, Brother Mike, if we could just get our people to fall in love with Him, it wouldn't matter who was here preaching. Cut this off right quick. Cut me off right quick if they say something. Is that easy to do? Is it just off and on? Don't you sing.
I was in a place so bad. Listen, when God saved me, He so enthralled my heart. Listen, Brother Edgar Thomas, Brother Willard died week before last, his brother. Brother Edgar Thomas used to preach on 1010 Big Gun Radio. I was running a milk route in them days. I'd just been called to preach, young preachers. I'd pull over at 10 o'clock, Brother Dave, and that old man of God preached to me, and I'd lay in the seat of that milk truck, and I'd just weep my way to God and say, "Oh, God, would You use me like You did, Edgar? God, would You just thrill me and use me?" Man, I'd come to church. Hey, why is it such a burden to come to His house? He just saved you and got you out of hell, filled you with the Holy Ghost, and blessed you beyond all your mind can comprehend. I seen a man at the car show last night, and I said, "God, let me start on a drink route." He let me go to the very top of the ladder, and then He pushed me out. He said, "Boy, God's blessed you, honey." I said, "Boy, has He blessed me. God, help my heart. Lord, help our people to fall in love with You again. Spend some time talking to You. Not ashamed to show You off out in the world. Lord, do a work in the heart of our people today. God, let me fall in love with You again. It don't matter the little thing." Hey, church, look at you, man of God, this morning. Hey, if it don't matter in 100 years, let it go today. Fall in love with Him again. This altar's open. I don't know if you need anything in your life, but you know something? You've got to commit and realize there's a problem. He said, "Return to your first works, and I will receive you." You got to realize there's a problem. I realized there was a problem the other week. I got it fixed. And that's where I started preaching to you at the start of this sermon, realizing we've all got something that we can relate to. Our heart gets cold and our love grows distant. And the only way that you're going to get your love back to Him, you've got to talk to Him. You've got to court Him again. You've got to respond to Him when He responds to you. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could just be honest and fall on this altar and say, "God, it's not how it used to be in my heart. God, there's nothing wrong with our church. It's nothing wrong with the Word. It's nothing wrong with our preacher. God, it's me in my heart. It's nothing wrong with You. God, You have so blessed me." Brother Mike, we made this statement together yesterday. I said, "You know, Brother Mike, we've got some of the most blessed people in America in our church. And maybe Brother Steve, maybe Brother Gerald, maybe it took some hard knocks. Maybe God had to knock the pride out of me, knocking me flat on my face a few years ago. But I'm going to tell you, when God does something for me, I want to thank Him for it. I don't want blessings to drive it. I don't want my blessing to drive me from Him. I want it to bring me closer to Him. Say, Lord, I want to thank You. And God, if You never give me nothing else, and if You never allow nothing else, I want to say thank You for saving me. I want to thank You for them prayers You've answered. And God, I want to thank You for doing that work in my heart. When I was minding my own business, You come to where I was, and You drew me out by Your love. And oh God, You saved me, and I want to thank You for what You've done. God, would You put that back in my heart this morning? This altar's open. I don't know what you need, church. But I just asked you, would you be honest with Him and come this morning?